Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we welcome Dexter Knight. Now, Dexter is the principal out of JCTC, but he grew up down around Camp Nelson in the Poortown area. Dexter will be here to reminisce about the growing up in that part of our county, talk about some of the people that he grew up with. We'll do that right after this word from the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn more about the place where we live, the people and the places and things of Jessamine County. Today, we're going to be talking about a community in our county in the southern part of Jessamine County, right before you cross the river going into Garrett County. There's several little places down there that we want to mention today. Most people know Camp Nelson, but a lot of people also might recognize names like Poortown or Hall, things like that. So we're going to talk about that today. And with me to do that is a fellow who grew up in that area. I guess his family was there a while, and we'll find out about that. Dexter Knight, who is also the principal of JCTC. Good morning, Dexter.
Hey, good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you. I appreciate you agreeing to do this. We're going to talk a little bit about your stomping ground and the place where you grew up. And a lot of good people came from that area of the county. You know, when you drive down 27, now, if you're somebody like me that grew up here, you know that it's all down there. But now, especially since they put that road in, the big four lane and all that, if you're just going down through there and don't really know anything about Jessamine County, you really don't even know some of these places exist. You just can't see them.
That's right.
From the road.
I tell folks it is the when we start to talk about Poortown, that area, it's the last road on the right before you go over the hill at the bridge into Garrett County.
And people would be amazed, I think, that if they took that road, what all is down there,
right?
It would surprise you.
And it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, it's not the, obviously, you know, it's not the same Poortown that I grew up in.
Right.
But still a lot of good people down there that actually still live there today.
Camp Nelson, of course, is known particularly for the part it played in the Civil War when the troops were located down in that area. Of course, the cemetery there across the road came out of that. Did most of these communities come out of that, or do you think they were there even before the Civil War?
I think some of those came out of that. I've done a little bit of research, and if you've seen the movie Lincoln, mm-hmm. One of the first lines in the movie Lincoln, President Lincoln's sitting there talking to some African-American soldiers, mm-hmm. and Camp Nelson is referenced within the
yes.
first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of rich history down there. But a lot of those folks, story goes there's an old stagecoach road that runs from Poortown down the Palisades, almost like you're going into the Grand Canyon, because that's the way the land lays down mm-hmm. there. But there's a stagecoach road that runs through Camp Nelson. So it was a thriving area even back, I think, before the Civil
War.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've done a little bit of research, not enough to know much more than that. But as far as growing up down there, I could not have asked for a better experience. It was Mayberry RFD in a very smaller version in Poortown. At one time, we had our own little store.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone took care of everybody. Everybody knew everybody.
Right.
And it was a great raising.
Well, in your growing up, how many people do you think lived in that area? What would you say?
I've never run the numbers as far as counting them in my head, but anywhere between 75 and 100
yeah.
in the what they call the Palisades Heights area now. That's
right.
The name. It used to be Rural Route 3.
Now it's Palisades Heights.
Now it's Palisades Heights. It sounds like some, you know, fancy
yeah.
city in California,
right.
Doesn't it? Right? So basically Palisades Heights is, yeah, we're on top of the Palisades.
Yeah.
But it's the last road there. One of my favorite memories when I was a child, when I think about that little road, it's just a little one lane road, was Sherman Dean was the county judge.
Mm-hmm.
those folks listening, I know, remember Judge Dean and my mother back then. You know, you had the relationship just like you do today in Nicholasville. You can call up David West and say, David, I need this. I remember my mother on the phone one winter. Dad had already gone to work, and the road was covered with snow. It was a big snow. Right. And, you know, she'd call up and say, Judge, our road hasn't been plowed. Can you help me take, you know, can you take care of that for me? And sure enough, in an hour or two,
here they'd go.
There they'd come. They, you know, we could get out because we were, what I'd say, under the hill. You know, you couldn't get out. And four-wheel drives, that was a luxury.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks didn't have four-wheel drive vehicles and that type of thing. So if you knew a big snow was coming, you had to park on top of the hill.
And walk up.
And walk up. I did that going to University of Kentucky for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You know, weather forecasting probably wasn't as good back then, but I've been caught below the hill before with the big snow and struggled to get out.
Before we get into a lot of people and places, tell us a little bit about your background, your parents, who they were, and how they came to be even in that area.
I have ties to Jessamine and Garrett County. My mom and dad are both originally from Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was Edith Knight. She was a Wheeler, related to the Wheelers that are
really?
Around. Absolutely.
Really? Well, they still have some Garrett County folk,
I think. They do.
But Gerald, who is currently a deputy sheriff.
Gerald's my second cousin.
I don't know that I would admit that. Because, of course, and when I say that very sarcastically.
Mike.
Of course, because Gerald is also my nephew-in-law.
Wow.
And so
wow.
I'm hooked to that, to him,
that's
too.
That's right. That's right. My Gerald's grandfather and my mother were brother and sister.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike and I were first cousins.
We're first cousins.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what about your dad? Did he come from Garrett County?
Dad was Charlie Knight.
Now, was he kin to like Henry Knight or any of those guys?
No.
Okay.
Different bunch. Different bunch, different set.
Bernard Knight,
we're related. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Bernard, a lot of people may remember Bernard hanging around and helping out work down at the Jessamine Cleaners for many, many years.
Absolutely.
And delivering those clothes and stuff.
His parents were Nora and Charles Knight, too.
Yeah.
Daddy was Charles Quilla Knight. I have researched my family on the Knight side, and Quilla goes back to an old family name, Aquila.
Yeah,
back in the 1800s. But Daddy was Charlie Knight. Everybody called him Ta. He had a nickname. How he got that nickname?
Really? Don't know.
Don't know. But those that know him or knew him best, Frank Corman, Kevin's father.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nuki Stotts.
Yes.
All those folks called him Ta. But
But
they were from Garrett. We had a river bottom farm, 36 acres. And it's now the Tom Dorman Nature Preserve.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the state nature preserve system. My boys have been down there. My grandfather ran a ferry across the river back in the 1800s, early 1900s. So actually, it'd be the early
1900s. So even though, I mean, your mother and daddy knew all about the area where you grew up, across the river in Jessamine County.
Right.
And I guess at some point in time said, well, let's just go over there and live.
Well, exactly. Mom told this. My mother's been deceased now 10 years, and dad died when I was 18. So mom, when they first got married, they lived in the river bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about that area down there, it's pretty remote.
Mm-hmm.
Mother didn't like it. I can remember her telling the story. She cried to Charlie one night and said, I want to move. So
that was it.
They moved to the closest place because at the time dad was working at the distillery. The old stone distillery that burned several years ago. But they built a house actually up in Poortown. Jody and Thelma Shear, who lived there right behind us, about 100 yards, actually built the house, and the rest is history.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have two half-brothers.
Yeah.
Delbert and James Eason.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Davistown near Lake Harrington.
Okay.
But they were more like uncles growing up than they were. You know, they were both in the Army. There are pictures of me when I'm about two, and Delbert's in the Army in his uniform. He's 21, 22 years old. So I grew up with them.
Right.
Around them.
Right.
So not with them. I'm really an only child by my dad.
Okay. Well, you mentioned one thing, and of course, there's a lot of things down there. When you go to Camp Nelson, we have talked about on our You Grew Up in Jessamine Facebook page. One of the things that stands out in my mind about Camp Nelson is, of course, the bridges. You know, we started out with the old Wernwag Bridge, which was the covered bridge, which was, I guess, one of the first, if not the first, across the river. Eventually, going into disrepair, and then they put up the metal bridge, which eventually got into disrepair, and you have what you have now.
Built in the 70s.
Has been hard to believe.
I know.
That it's been there that long, because I can remember pictures.
Still remember it going up as
going
a kid.
Up, and I remember seeing pictures in the journal of the progress made, and you're like, oh my gosh, and that's the 70s?
Right.
But yeah, those bridges down in there, and of course, unfortunately, the Wernwag Bridge, there's one end that I guess was still standing that is owned privately. The old metal bridge, I think, is still up. It's just blocked off.
Right.
But then the other thing that a lot of people remember,
that was a bustling community.
Yeah, it was. And I guess one of the main reasons, and you mentioned it, and we talk about it, is the distillery.
That's right.
Now, your dad worked there. You said, I guess, did just about everybody that lived down there work
everybody
at the distillery?
Everybody in that area worked at the distillery, or the bottling house, or the warehouse, which is now, I think it's a truss. They make trusses up there.
Yeah, where up
Wild,
on the hill.
Right, where Wild Turkey leases out the old...
Now that's across the road from the cemetery.
Camp Nelson National Cemetery.
You can actually see those buildings there.
That building was tied to then Canada Dry. My dad, it was an affiliate of Canada Dry. On my birth certificate, it says fireman for my father's occupation.
Really?
And fireman was not, I'm going to fight fires. Dad fired the boilers that cooked the mash at the distillery.
Now, was it Wild Turkey? Was that what
no,
they made?
No, it was, I think it was Old Bargetown.
Oh, yeah?
It was an off-brand. I can't remember now.
But that was a big community.
It was huge.
And there was...
I remember going down there with my dad to get the check. Getting his, you know, it was a big deal to get the check. Plus, back then, mail was run differently. The mailboxes for Poor Town were down there by the distillery because everybody worked there. There were 10 or 12
easy.
Or 15, so the mailman could
do it all
one sweep right there, and then you get your mails, you're coming out of work,
wow.
and that type of thing. So that eventually changed.
You know, and that you're talking about big. Somebody put a picture on, or I found a picture of the old distillery, and out front, it was one they took years and years and years ago of all the employees. I mean, there was a crap. You said 75 to, I believe there's more than that,
right.
The employees.
Right. Oh, there
it was
were.
Huge.
There were. Not everybody lived in Poor Town, but there were a lot.
Huge.
I mean, from folks, the Coopers that made the barrels to folks that, you know, my mother worked there until the early 60s. She was one of the bottle top, I guess, put the top on the whiskey bottle, that type of thing. But mother always said, she got saved in the early 60s, and she said, I couldn't work there anymore. So she became a stay-at-home mom.
There you go. But that business provided for a lot of people.
It did.
In this county, and I guess in surrounding counties also. I'm sure there's a lot of Garrett County people.
Oh, absolutely. Too. Yeah, a lot of canners.
Yeah.
A lot of those, that family. I'm related to canners. My dad's half-sister was Aunt Ella Canner, and my grandmother, who I never knew, was Mary Ellen. Died in the 40s, along with my grandfather on my father's side. So I'm related to the Canners. I'm related to the Underwoods because my grandmother was an Underwood. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me.
Oh, it's like crabgrass. You're everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
So the distillery, and unfortunately, the distillery did eventually shut down. It caught on fire, even. Is there still...
Shut down in the 70s,
Is there still any of those buildings down there? I haven't been there for a while.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they're all gone.
There's some... area back there in the river bottom on the Jessamine County side that at one time, I think it was some kind of a livestock. I never really, I think they may have marketed livestock or something there. But back when I was a kid, I went to Camp Dick Robinson. For some reason, my mother didn't send me to Nixville Elementary.
Yeah.
And I lived in Jessamine County. So back then, I guess the rules were a lot looser than they are now.
Right.
I went to Camp Dick first through third. Which, the old Camp Dick.
Right, right.
Judge Wilson, who was a judge in Garrett County, his wife had her, Miss Purcell, Miss Rubel. I can still remember all my teachers. But when Warner opened, which is now the Village.
That's right. Is that
it
when
was
you
the
came
Warner
here?
And the junior high, fourth grade.
Yeah.
Mom moved me back here. So
yeah.
It was in the Jessamine County system from then on. But going down there was a store. Frank Corman ran a store down there. Kevin Corman, our sheriff's dad, ran a store. There was a pool. There was a campground.
Pool?
There was a pool.
Maybe,
I spent a lot of summers.
Well, I know, and
in
there
Camp
used
Nelson
to be,
as a young man.
What was the restaurant? There used to be a restaurant.
There
down
did,
there.
And my mother actually worked there. I think for a brief period of time. I could not tell you the name of the restaurant.
I don't remember. I do remember though that
gas station,
and it was a special.
Mr. Blankenship ran the Gulf Station down there.
That was that. Ken of John and all that bunch, you think? Maybe?
Don't know. Ben was his name.
Well, I remember...
That was on the Garrett County side.
On Sundays, after church, going to that restaurant every once in a while with the Poors, Kurt Poor and that family.
Right.
And at that time, folks... You had to take the old road down, and it was like you said. It was like
going into the Grand Canyon.
Oh, it was a snake. It was like riding a snake down through there.
That's it.
And I never will forget those trips to eat down at, and I can't remember the name either, but I remember going to that restaurant.
Me too,
of course, now there's a campground down in that area over on the Garrett County
side. And it's still active. All those things we're talking about, the pool, the gas station, restaurant, were just barely over... side of the river on the Garrett County side.
One of the things that happened down in that area that you would remember well, and you were talking earlier about the weather and your car, you lived down in there when we had the big snow of 77 and the floods that took out Camp Nelson, basically.
Flooded my dad's home place, the river bottom, all that. I can remember seeing a house go down the river, chimney, was basically the only thing showing, and it was floating down the river. The chimney hit the bridge, and bricks just exploded. It was like fascinating. But that was in the 70s.
Yeah, well,
72, I think.
No, well, that was earlier than the one I'm talking about.
Oh,
then.
Okay.
The one I have in mind would have happened in the 77.
Okay,
and the reason I remember it was because. All those people down in there lost because of the floods. It was before Christmas. They lost everything.
Right.
We had a local Optimist Club here that decided to raise money to help purchase Christmas presents for those kids because they'd lost everything in the flood. And my dad was a member of that club. Well, they decided to have a radiothon on WNVL. And for some reason, when they did it, Dad couldn't go. So he sent me at 15 years old. And I read pledges on the air with Bill Laney and others.
I remember that.
The next summer is when Bill hired me to work in
radio. Radio station, WNVL.
It was because of that flood and because of that organization that I even got a start in this business.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, all because of that.
That's incredible. So, I think I have my dates right. And I know there's folks out there listening that have a better handle on it than me, but I was thinking there was one in 70.
There could have been.
72
very well could have been.
At that time, I was about 9 years old.
Well, and that's the thing. When you live on the river, whether it's Camp Nelson or whether it's down at High Bridge or Brooklyn, wherever, that's part of life.
That's it.
Is knowing that possibility is there. You're going to lose possibly your home place at some time because that water's going to be there.
Mr. Stipe down there lived on the river, and I considered him Old Man River because that was his. I mean, we're talking trot lines and fishing. Mm-hmm. And if folks wanted fresh fish, then they'd go get it from Mr. Stipe.
And the thing about that is that life, it's like a lot of things, Dexter. Gets in your blood. And I've often thought about people like that. They have a flood and they lose a lot and they go right back to it. But that's their life. That's what they know and that's what they love.
That's right. And that generation that we're talking about here, my parents included, and those folks out there today, that generation knew how to live.
Mm-hmm.
They knew raising a good garden.
Mm-hmm.
Canning and reaping the benefits of the hard work, and you know, just sitting on the back porch breaking beans was a pleasure.
Sure,
we could take some lessons from that today and slow down. And a lot of folks in our community still do those things and value those things. Mm-hmm. But as a society, we've really lost that.
We have.
But that was the community, and I really, when I say that, I sound like it's a cliche when it's Mayberry, but it really was. We didn't have much, but we valued what we had.
Mm-hmm.
We took care of each other.
And that I was just thinking, that probably is one of the most important things you had.
Absolutely.
Is you had each other's backs.
That's right.
And if somebody got sick or in a bad time, rallied around.
I can remember. I worked at the locker plant here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't started college at UK yet. Matter of fact, don't know if I was going to. So a lot of things, it's funny when you look back on things, how things happen, but... Butch Canner was a state police officer at the time. Came to me.
Yep.
He was, or he's even Nicholsville. He might have been Nicholsville.
Yep.
He wasn't state. But anyway, he came to me. My father had passed away. They rushed me down there. My mom was there. Our whole community. I still see our whole community coming to our house.
Mm-hmm.
I still see at my father's funeral at the cemetery all those people coming together to support
them. Yeah.
And that's still true today in Jessamine County.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm proud to proud to say I'm from Jessamine County. Absolutely.
You brought a lot of notes with some names on it. So what I want to do, and when I talk to you about doing this program, if you could, just mention some people and some memories that you have of growing up down there.
Well, there's just so many. You know, some of the fondest memories were sleigh riding in the wintertime. You mentioned 77, 78, and it was kind of hilly down there at the Palisades, so I would sleigh ride by. The worst thing that could happen back then was the county would come out and gravel the road. That was, in a child's mind, that was the worst thing, because all your fun, because you know how snow would get like slick like ice, and boy, it would be, you know, you'd be like the Olympics. But once the county graveled the road,
it was over.
But I spent as much time with Perry Clark and Mary Clark. Tried to get Diane Green to come in here with me, who was Diane Clark. But I spent as much time with Perry on his farm on Sugar Creek. His family, Diane and Lisa and Jeff, were good friends with them. Ray Clark, well, you know, Ray Edward Clark and Sue. That's Ray's father. Ray and Catherine.
Was Sue raised down in there too?
You know, I'm not. I don't think so. I don't believe
because
so.
Because she is. Get all these relations right.
Ray Edwards.
Because she's hooked to the Cormans. Frank, you mentioned Frank Corman and them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she was raised down there or not, but I knew they were
She was hooked in.
All
to
related.
Them. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Hampton. Or Hamp Clark.
Oh, I hadn't
Dorothy
thought about
Clark.
Hamp. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had so many folks. One of the things I remember about Hamp, actually, when I was working at the locker plant, we raised 3 meat hogs every year, and Hamp did too, and everybody's just like the community does. It goes together, comes together at hog killing time. So we were at Bill Locker, ran the slaughterhouse here on Green Street in Nicholasville, and Hamp had his flatbed farm truck loaded down with hams and shoulders and bacon and tenderloin and all that. They had blocked it out up here at the slaughterhouse after they'd killed the hogs, because at one time we used to kill them at home, but I guess Dad didn't do it that year, and they were driving down the road with a flatbed full of pork. I mean, all this open air, you know. Can you see that right now in Nicholasville? Yeah. And we do the same thing with the beef quarters.
Yeah.
You'd get 6 beeves on a truck. You'd have hind quarter, fore quarters going to the locker plant. So those are a lot of good memories. Harlan, Mr. and Ms. Pruitt. Harlan Pruitt, he had a son that served in Vietnam. And to this day, when West Jessamine Middle School kids... And for that matter, East Jessamine Middle School kids go to Washington, D.C. They etch the name of Mr. Pruitt's son, who died in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the little things that we do, because they're recognizing Jessamine County folks that, you know, died in that war.
Well, I guess we had two then. I didn't know about him, because you had Barry Waldrop's dad, Kyle.
Right.
And this is the second I didn't know about.
Yeah, I think his name was David.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was David.
Good to know.
But he died in Vietnam.
Yeah, okay.
Vietnam. Oh, of course, the Willoughby family, that's still, I think there are a lot of folks that are around. I think they're in Danville and that type of thing. They had a large family down there. Like I mentioned before, I grew up with Jody and Thelma Shear. They were 100 yards behind me. Hamp Clark would raise some tobacco in between our house and Jody's, and they'd kind of trade off. And, you know, wouldn't be anything 7 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning to look out your back porch and see Jody and his grandsons out there chopping out tobacco.
Sure.
Just great, great memories. Lived next door to a gentleman by the name of Willard Corman. He had a son named Hod. I think it was Hod. It was killed in a car wreck. But Hod, word goes, Hod was going to be a professional baseball player.
Oh, yeah?
And was a good ball player, but he was killed in a car wreck. But Willard was a bachelor. My mother fixed many a meal for Willard, and I would pack it up there to him in the evening, you know, 5, 6 o'clock. You know, that's what we do. Have an
that's
extra plate.
Yeah.
You take care of
that's
them.
That's right.
The Ney family, Dwayne and Glenda and Debbie and Juanita and all those folks lived around them.
Was his name Glenn?
Glenn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glenn. Mike Griffith, one of our veterinarians, lived down there for a little.
Did he really?
For a little while.
Didn't know that.
He rented a house from Perry Clark. It was Aunt Grace, which was Perry's sister, Grace Waters.
Yeah.
Rented that house and got to know Mike that way.
Yeah.
Don Wilson. Don was friends with Mike. Don's one of our farmers here in the community, pretty active.
Yes.
Kristen, Kristen's dad.
Well, you had a lot of people, a lot of good names.
Great
that you're
people.
Mentioning now.
Ola and Wade Nave, which were Glenn's parents. Diane and I used, we still tell the story that we would, one of our favorite memories was going to Ola's house. It was the only time she'd get out her fine china, and she'd serve Cairo white syrup and those little bitty biscuits and some butter. And it's like tea and crumpets, okay? Mm-hmm. As a child, it was a really big deal. Richard and Retha Martin ran the,
Dale Martin's
parents. Dale Martin's
he
parents.
Was a preacher.
Right, right.
Camp Nelson Baptist Church.
That's right.
Yeah, because he used to do a little 15-minute
yes.
sermon program on our old radio station years ago.
I still remember. You know,
yeah.
My mother singing specials in that little church that held about 50 people.
He was wheelchair, I think, wasn't he?
Lost both legs.
Yes,
in
did.
A car accident.
And, of course, his son Dale still lives here in Nicholasville.
Right.
And I got to know Dale. Dale's a little bit older than us.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to know him through coaching softball together with him or against each other or whatever in the league. And
Brother Martin
right.
actually married Wanda and I. So
yeah, really?
Right here at Nicholasville Baptist,
yeah.
which that church came out of Nicholasville Baptist. So
sure.
Everybody called her Archie Mom. Her name was Archie Watts. Jenny Watts, Becky Watts, Adams.
Oh.
Grandmother.
Okay, you're talking about Becky Watts. Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Right.
Rita.
Right.
Is a sister
yeah,
in that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. LeMay.
Okay.
Rita LeMay.
Yeah, I got you. I know who you're talking
all
about.
All that
now.
Family
yeah.
was down there. But Archie Mom, some of my favorite memories there. I used to shake her stove, you know, mm-hmm. get the ashes out, bring her coal in. She did not have running water. Her daughter lived in a house that did. So
yeah.
pack her water to her, 5-gallon buckets, sitting out on the porch, drinking, you know, in the summertime, drinking it
right.
out of the old metal ladle. And she would make the best bourbon balls in the wintertime in the old Cool Whip container. That was my favorite thing from Archie Mom was, you know, of course, as a kid, you thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Let me ask you, too, Dexter. I was just sitting
I
got
to mention the Stotts family here, too.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget. Well, yeah, of course. Don't Hugh and all that bunch. Don't forget them.
Exactly.
You had a community on the other side of 27.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Were y'all tied together? Was that kind of a separate community?
A little bit.
Because it was Camp Nelson also, but it was on the other side of the road.
Right. Don Carter and Phyllis.
Well, it had the zoo.
Right. And the zoo.
That
was actually north. The other side of 27 is where Don and Phyllis Carter
and they
still live there.
And folks, if you ever go down 27, right before the bridge, if you look to your left and you see a pile of what you think might be junk, that's Don Carter's yard sale. Has had it, gosh, how many years? It's complete honor system. You want to buy something, you just stop, leave your money, and take it and go.
That's right.
And I don't know how many years he's done that.
Wrote an article. They had an article in the paper here a few years ago.
But if you go down that road, now the zoo, when we were growing up, was run by a Carter. In fact, we're going to do a show on that before long. Mr. Carter's daughter, who is Ronald L. Shear's wife, Cindy.
Right.
She was a daughter. We're going to get with her and try to do a show about the zoo.
Oh, neat.
That used to be down in that area, too. But I guess, did the highway kind of split the communities?
A little bit, but they were still, you know,
yeah.
Don had some, I think, had a farm right in between Portown and Hall.
Yeah.
There was some land there, and Don had some cattle, ran some cattle there. But, yeah, funny story. I stopped at Don's place there. Juan and I were, this has been a few years ago. And we were looking at some of the stuff. Actually, we were talking. And all of a sudden, Don pops up. He'd been over sitting in the shade.
Yeah.
And we talked a few minutes. And he can remember my dad and my uncle, Jamie, squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
And he said, I never will forget this. He said, I could always tell when the night boys were squirrel hunting because they only shot one time. And they were that good of a shot. So I thought, you know, that's pretty cool,
sure
Don.
Sure it is.
It's pretty
sure
cool.
It is.
So, I mean, we lived off of that kind of stuff.
That's why
the
you
game.
Did it. Yeah.
Squirrel and rabbit and
you know, and I was sitting here thinking while you were talking about a lot of this stuff. You are describing a lot of things that a lot of communities in this county had. Whether it was Camp Nelson, Little Hickman. I grew up in Union Mills. You had the Logana, you have Keene, you've got Pink, you've got all these different little High Bridge
Vineyard.
Little communities. Yes, Vineyard. And it's a shame that our children now have absolutely, a lot of our children now,
right.
have no clue
what that's like.
Of what that's like. I grew up in the Union Mills area where my dad grew up. I mean, they moved there when he was 8 or 9 years old, and I still live there today. And I look around that community, and I look at who's left of the original bunch, if you will.
Right.
Old Miss W.I. Stinnett is it. She's the only one that's basically left there. And I remember those days, and I try to tell my kids about coming home after school and getting on my bike and riding over to Stinnett's grocery to get a RC Cola, and literally, and a moon pie or whatever. I wouldn't let my kids on that road with a bike. I wouldn't try it now. But back then, nothing to it.
Screen doors open.
Exactly. You didn't worry about it. You knew that if you left somewhere. One of my fondest memories, Dexter, of leaving with Miss Stinnett, is everybody knew in the community if you were going to go away. And they'd watch out for your place.
That's right.
And we'd stop by her store, and she always had a little bag of candy for Cecil and I for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that.
That's right.
But nowadays, I mean, kids, it's a shame
it
that
is.
Our children just
it really
don't have
is.
Any experience like
Anytime
that.
Anytime you can replicate that. I tell folks today, they think I'm corny when I say this, but we still do some things like that with the Young Farmer Association,
mm-hmm.
with the Beef Cattle Association, Bluegrass RECC, the annual meeting. Some of my fondest memories, and I'm not, I'm 53. I'm your
right.
age, Doug.
Yeah.
But I grew up the old way. My parents
right.
were in their 40s when I was born.
Yeah.
My mother was 43. My dad was 46.
Yeah.
So people probably looked at them and said, what are those old people going to
mm-hmm.
do with that baby?
Mm-hmm.
But they knew how to live. They knew the sense of community. My favorite memories were going to the RECC annual meeting. Actually, didn't go to town through the week.
Right,
Went to school.
Right. But it was a treat to come to town.
On Saturday.
And then if you
go to the dime store.
And if you got to go to Lexington, you really thought you
were something. Yeah, I got a pair of leather Converse tennis shoes back when I was 14 or 15
yeah.
years old. I thought I'd won the lottery. Okay? That's what
yeah.
I mean. And
yeah.
I try and I share those experiences with our young people.
Yeah. It's changed so much.
It has.
I was telling someone on one of these shows, I came down the back way to my home from around Man of War, and you can go down Tate's Creek and you can hit Ash Grove and you can come across through there. And I came around this curve and there sat, and I had to stop and take a picture of it. This has been the last year and a half. One of the most beautiful patches of tobacco that
mm-hmm.
I had ever seen in my
right.
life. And I stopped because it dawned on me, between here and my house, this might be the only one I see.
This on Union Mill?
No, this was on Ash Grove, I think.
Ah.
But or Tate's Creek.
Well, that was probably
one of the two.
It was probably the Waits.
Yeah,
probably
I'm
the
sure,
Waits farm.
I'm sure it was one of the Waits.
If it was on Ash Grove.
But I thought to myself, you know, I grew up with that. I grew up working in that. I grew up with those scenes on the place where I live right now.
That's right.
But not anymore.
No.
And it took me back. And I had to stop. And I actually took a picture with my phone.
Right.
Well, if my grandparents could hear that, they'd think, what are you talking about?
Right.
Of that tobacco patch. And then it dawned on me, my kids don't have a clue what that is. None.
Just the work ethic.
I mean,
granted, it's a double-edged sword.
Sure.
But it's put a lot of folks through college.
Oh, gosh,
paid a lot of bills.
Yeah.
It's bought a lot of, it's put so much back into the economy.
That's right.
But same token, it was the work ethic that was developed around mm-hmm. that, sitting on the wagon with filthy hands, eating a ham sandwich
yeah.
from the country store at Teeters on 27.
Right.
Those kind of experiences.
Yeah.
And families can still do that, and families do that. It's just different.
It's different.
But you can't, if you're intentional about it, that's mm-hmm. that generation knew how to live. Like I said, eating a good tomato out of the garden.
Yeah.
Cleaning fish after you've been fishing and, blanching corn. My dad would take off a couple of days a year and canned tomatoes and canned green beans. And
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff got us through the winter.
Sure did.
We didn't have.
Yeah, you had to.
It was not because we wanted to.
It was
because we had to.
Yeah,
it was a necessity.
Yeah.
Because, mom didn't work and dad was the only breadwinner and he farmed a little bit on the side, but I didn't have the very best of things, but I would not trade. And Kevin Corman will tell you the same thing. Diane Green will tell you the same thing. You'll say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I wouldn't take it for $2 million,
$10
million.
That's right.
I had the greatest raising ever.
It's different, as you said, and things change. And things that we enjoyed as children were a whole lot different than what our parents enjoyed when they were children.
Absolutely.
And it happens throughout all of time.
Right.
that there will always be a change. Things that our kids enjoy now, when they get, they're going to...
They look back on it nostalgically like we do. And they do that now even in their 20s.
Sure. And at some point in time, our children, Dexter, will say the same thing that you and Wanda and Amy and I have. We'll talk like our parents did. And then it dawns on you, oh, I've turned into my mom and dad.
That's right.
It happens, folks.
That's right.
But it's good to look back on it. It's good to remember it. Before I get too far toward the end here,
I want to mention the Stotts family.
Yeah, mention some more there.
Spent a lot of time with Hugh and, mm-hmm. and Laura Jane Stotts. Mm-hmm. Had many a meal at her table. She was the sweetest lady that walked mm-hmm. the planet. Edna Dale and Timmy and Nuki and all that bunch. Never forget what year did Elvis die?
77, maybe?
Not sure.
Somewhere in there.
Never forget where I was.
Me either.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I was in the garden with the Stotts family.
Yeah.
They had a little family garden up off of 27, actually near where Bobby and Greg Becknell's mm-hmm. place was. We were up there, I think, maybe even digging potatoes, because it had been in August, so that's about right.
It was in August.
Yeah. They were bringing me home, and Dad met me at the truck and met us all at the truck mm-hmm. and said, Elvis Presley's died. Mm-hmm. So, big news, because he was supposed to have been.
Yeah. He was in Lexington.
He was in Lexington.
Weekend or something.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I was cutting tobacco and had taken a break and was sitting in my uncle's truck and had the radio on and heard it.
Yeah, your AM radio?
Your AM. It was NVL was what it was before I started working there. See, tobacco is another reason that I got into radio.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because I hated it. And I knew there had to be an easier job in my life. There had to be an easier way. And I helped them with tobacco for several years and then decided to come town and get me a good job.
If I had to feed my family cutting tobacco, we'd starve to death.
It was tough, folks. It was tough. Anybody else there that we did? I know it's hard to hit everybody.
I tried to just kind of hit. And if I leave somebody out, I really and truly don't mean to. But
it's tough.
It really is. I think I mentioned just about everybody. Of course, you know, keep in mind, too, Porktown still exists. I mean, mm-hmm. it's still on the map.
Right.
There's still some of the same scenery. If you go behind where the Clarks grew up, where Diane grew up, there's Lover's Leap.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, you know, rock palisades mm-hmm. Area back there. You can actually see the Tom Dorman Nature Preserve from we used to call it Cliff Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a rock that rock outcropping. Most of the yards down there had rock outcroppings in them because you're on top of the Palisades.
Right.
And the soil's not very deep. But
do you know how it got its name, Portown? Or how Hall? How did any of those?
I heard, and once again, I haven't researched it. I heard it was named after a gentleman named Poor.
Okay.
But
and
I don't know
and
for sure.
You started talking about other things.
And folks,
there's an old church down there, too.
Right.
Was it Hall?
Correct.
It was called Hall.
I think there's on. There's a church road.
Yeah,
in the Hall
because
one of our teachers actually, Brooke and Chris Elliott are building a house down there.
Right? Well, I know the first year or the second year that we did the Paul Sawyer play, some of the proceeds went to buy an air conditioning unit for that church mm-hmm. down there at Hall.
Yeah, and of course, so many folks. Camp Nelson has a lot of meanings. We just buried my Wanda's brother Jim. At Camp Nelson,
mm-hmm.
It just means a lot to me that you know Jim's close to kind of where I grew up,
right.
And so many folks have been buried in Camp Nelson that have gone on.
Well, as we end our show here, I want to ask you a question. If somebody at this point in time or any point in time came up to you and said, Dexter, how's the best way to describe? How would you describe where you grew up and what you felt about it? What couple of lines would you use to talk about that area?
First thing that comes to mind is they were my family, and they defined who I am today.
Yeah.
And I think if you can say that, if your experiences growing up, if you can say they were a good experience with your family and all the folks that I've mentioned today, mm-hmm. we're not in a lot of cases we're blood related.
Right.
In a lot of cases, we're not, but they were family. They took care of one another, and they really and truly grounded me in just the very fiber of my being, of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Kevin Corman would always say, of course, his father just passed away a couple of years ago, year and a half, however long it's been. he and my dad were best friends. And Kevin would always say, of course, Kevin also lost a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he always say, Frank, nothing hurt his father worse. Said Chris, when mm-hmm. his son mm-hmm. passed away, mm-hmm. but when my father passed mm-hmm. away. That's how close that community was.
Yeah.
They worked and lived side by side every day.
You know, you're right. Where you grow up certainly does have an impact on your life. It should. And whether people realize it or not, it probably did. Some of us are lucky enough to realize that and to see those people and to understand what that's all about. And folks, that's kind of why we do this program. You know, it's fun learning about all these places and things, but I hope that if nothing else, that what you get out of these shows is the sense of pride that everyone has in this county. And I'm sure it's this way across the state and other counties too. But there are so much history here. There is so many things that happened in this county, as small as it is. And when you look at landmass, Dexter, one of the smallest counties.
One of the third smallest
in the
state. I think one of the third smallest. 177 yeah. square miles.
And we've had so many things that have come out of this county and people and interesting stuff. And it's But when you get right down to it, what you've talked about today, that sense of belonging and that sense of community is what's made us what we are.
That's right.
And we don't ever want to forget that. So that's one of the reasons that I'm so glad that you came in, and we want to talk to other people about their thoughts of this place, because I'm hoping that your thoughts and other people's thoughts on this show can filter down to some of our younger generation so that they can at least feel what we felt. And hopefully when they get our age, can feel the same kind of pride that you and I do.
Absolutely.
And I know you well enough that you will probably agree with this. When we were in high school and you were a year behind me, I can remember people that made the comment, I can't wait to get out of this place.
Right.
I never felt that way.
Me either.
Ever. I never said to anybody, I can't wait to leave here. I never exactly. wanted to.
That's right.
So that's just the
it's
way.
Home.
It's home. It's home. And we're glad that you're a part of it. Thank you for coming in. This has been very interesting.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for asking me.
My thanks to Dexter Knight for coming in this morning and reminiscing about Camp Nelson and Hall and Poortown and all the people that he remembers so well. I hope you'll tune me in next Saturday morning for another edition of All Things Jessamine, plus my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.